Do you know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Wonderful day in the neighborhood. Welcome to another edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649, or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Man, have I got a special treat for you today. My guest is Ken Collier, and Ken Collier is the president of the Wilds Christian Association. And prior to assuming this role at Wilds Camp, Ken served as the program director, assistant director, and director of the Wilds Christian Camp. He's also co-authored a book called Biblical Leadership with Matt Williams from Northland Ministries, and he has also been privileged to be a partner with Ron Hamilton in the writing and voicing of the Patch the Pirate recordings for over 30 years. Ken Collier, welcome to the Career Callings Radio Show, sir. How are you today?
I'm doing well, Robbie. Thank you very much for having me.
Man, I'm excited to have you, and I bet it's a very beautiful day in the neighborhood where you are at the camp today.
This neighborhood is beautiful. We have about 200 seniors in high school enjoying their senior trip, and so we've run them all around the neighborhood to waterfalls and great activities and even some whitewater rafting. It's been fun.
I tell you what, I'm thinking about crashing that party. I might just have to call in sick to work the rest of the day and tomorrow and just come up there and crash that party. How in the world would you want to do whitewater rafting right now? I bet it's pretty cold in the water.
Well, it has been colder. We've had some see your breath mornings, but when the seniors come, we have about 3.5 days and they want to do something a little different. So we've got a nice working relationship with the folks on the Nantahala, and we can have wetsuits and we have booties and all of those things that keep you as warm as you can be, but they love it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, in my introduction to you, I kind of focused on your professional life. So tell us a little bit about your family real quick.
Okay. My family, I have 4 children, 3 boys, and then finally got a girl. Boy, what a blessing that is.
Amen to that, brother.
My guys are great. They are all pastors. One is a pastor near us here in Brevard, North Carolina, and also director of one of the Wilds programs called Camps Abroad, which means going to other countries and exporting the philosophy of how you use camping in a ministry. And my second son is an assistant pastor in Delaware, and they have 5 children out that way. We can't get to them very easily from here, but having a great ministry. He's a children's pastor and administrative pastor. Then I have my 3rd son is out in the Seattle, Washington area. He is a pastor. So I got 3 in pastoral ministries, and my daughter is a college and career with her husband, lay leaders in the Greenville, South Carolina area. So it's good. We have a total of 15 grandchildren, and that is such a blessing and keeps us busy.
How in the world do you have time to work with 15 grandchildren?
My wife doesn't have time to work. I have to continue with that, but I still get my share.
There you go. There you go. What, if you will, Ken, give us a quick, brief summary of how the Lord kind of led you to where you are in your current career position.
Okay. The Wilds Christian Camp began in 1969. Of course, a lot happened even before that. But before that, when I was about a junior in high school, The one who founded the Wiles, Dr. Ken Hay, was my camp director in a little camp in Alabama, and it wasn't much to look at. But when I saw the way he went at life and how he loved God, but he was still an athlete and he was a fine preacher, boy, I thought, man, you mean me, public school kid here, you can actually love God and enjoy all those things and have an impact on others. So I kind of followed his career. And when he got back, he would teach 9 months out of the year in a college, and in 3 months he would direct camp. So at the point when he said, I believe the Lord is calling us to start a camp for the Southeast, and I was all ears. I was a freshman in college. I heard the plans, and I went to him and said, I will carry your baggage, sir, wherever you go, because I'd love to be a part of that. And so the first summer of the Wiles Christian Camp, I had the privilege of being one of about 15 boys that came. We had no camp to begin with. We just kind of de-stumped ball fields and cut trails to waterfalls and dodged snakes and bees. And we had a great time, but I was hooked after that. We had 2 weeks of camp at the end. And I just was asking the Lord, please take me, choose me. I would love to be a part of this. And so basically, Robbie, it worked that way. As soon as I graduated, I jumped right into the program directorship here.
During that time, and so if I'm doing my math right, you've been there, help me out, 34, well, at some level, 35-ish years, give or take?
No, I'm sorry. It's like 44 years.
44. Full-time.
January 1973, we were married in January, and I started on February the 1st, and so we're working right at 44 years of actual camp summers, and I've been involved with it since I was in college, plus four, so it's about 48 years of my life. It's been the only thing I've known.
That's amazing. That's amazing. That's wonderful, too, but you know what? Even though you love it, my guess is there have been some downs as well as some ups, so if you don't mind, take us to that point in time, what you would consider your worst career failure, or if you don't like the term failure, maybe your worst career challenge as the Lord has guided you along your career.
Yeah, I think with someone like me, and I know there's some people there that have started out right at the level of just the entry level is what I did. I was the guy that I washed the dishes on weekend, you know, then I would run over and lead a hike, and then I would, you know, sometimes I would have a little bit more part up front with a some type of skit or something. And then I was a counselor and a lead counselor for those 4 years of college. And I found my niche. You know, I love to be with people. And then I started gathering some responsibility, and I think the worst career failure was on the part of the ones who selected me, I really believe, because in the early days, you know, there weren't many of us here, and so we all had to do it all. And so there was no one to delegate to, no one to manage, and I think the hardest thing for me was being a doer and one who just wanted to be around with people, and then all of a sudden I started collecting things that were to make it better for other people to serve here. So I had a hiccup, you know, a mound there, because I like to do the creative work, but as far as being the one that says, all right, you need to do this, you need to stop this, you need to go this direction, that's probably the hardest thing that came to me, because I wasn't naturally that way. But that was part of the responsibility, so you pick it up as you go. But I endured, no, the people who were under me endured a lot, because I was not a decisive person. But yet I knew the philosophy, and all I had to do was call on that philosophy, and it would give the answers. And so it was a happy day when I turned and said, you know what, I've got a wonderful biblical philosophy that I follow, and I need to teach other people how to make those decisions in light of that philosophy, which took the pressure off of, and I don't mean it that way, but off of me, you know, people looking at me, because that's not the issue anyway. It's the idea of we need to have a ministry that's biblical. We make our decisions on the basis of the principles of God's word. So it was both the worst career failure was when I kind of refused to accept the fact that I needed to tell people what to do and be the one that outlined it. But the best was being able to realize I've got a biblical philosophy and I need to teach it. And of course, there's some other things that came out of that, but that's basically it.
Drill down on that biblical philosophy a little bit more, kind of expound on that and help us kind of see how your thought process changed and how you were able to put that into action.
Okay. I'm kind of a conceptual thinker, so when I followed around the director, who was a very busy man, he challenged me to write down as we went why you do what you do, which is a really simple definition of philosophy, why you do what you do. And so I took out my pen because I love to write. You know, I love to think in that conceptual way. And so I started to write down the philosophy of the Wilds. Now, it came from the mind of a man who was very, very solid biblically. And so he was easy to follow. And I realized that I was really not that easy to follow because I was still formulating my own Christian bedrock, which is the most important thing, is to get into the Word of God. Wear Proverbs out. I remember many of my Bibles used to wear out from the inside out. In other words, Proverbs would become tissue paper and finally come loose from the Bible. Because I was challenged early on, get God's mind, get His wisdom. So I spent a lot of time there. I spent a lot of time talking with Dr. Hay and men like him that seem to make their decisions on the basis of something very solid. And so that's been the beginnings of the Wilds, and probably the most important thing in the ministry was that you be able to know and explain why you do what you do.
And so to kind of flesh that out, when you got to the point where you kind of understood why you were doing what you were doing, yeah, did that help you understand that no one person can do it all and that you needed to find or rely on other people who could do the things that do the things better than you could do, and you need to stay limited on the stuff that God designed you to do the best? Is that kind of where it went, or how it went?
I think the most wonderful thing happened when one of the verses in Proverbs just talks about in the multitude of counselors, there's safety. Well, I was still in the process of learning what spiritual gifts were, how different people operated and thought a different way. All of this is a process of learning. But I really wanted to learn it because I knew that I had guys around me that made decisions quickly. They were challenge people, you know, they would confront, they would, they seemed to know what they were about kind of naturally. And a man challenged us on using the leadership of a multitude of counselors. So to me, that was right up my alley because I was sure I couldn't do it all. I was sure that I didn't have all the knowledge and the wisdom to go about things. And so I began to take those people that were, theoretically, they were under me in a job relationship, but they became my co-laborers, my co-workers, the ones that I looked to, the ones that I spent my time with, that I prayed with, and, you know, those guys, and I just started pumping them for information because they looked at things differently. Their ideas were many times better than mine, but I'd have to say the thing that changed my ministry was multitude of counselors. That's where there's safety. Of course, if it's in the way of the Lord, that's the basic. But beyond that, we just were excited to learn together. I had some friends who were excellent preachers. You know, they were the ones that were black and white. For me, I could see kind of both sides, more the consensus gatherer. And so it came to where it worked amazingly, we had a wonderful team, but it was a team. There was none higher than the other as far as spiritual gifts, as far as having a good personality to touch with people. So that was a happy day for me when I learned I've got a philosophy, I can teach a philosophy, but it's going to be carried out in the minds and personalities and giftedness of different people in different ways.
And if I were to sum that up, basically what I think I connected there was this. You went from a position of quote-unquote dictator where you were handing out orders and you did not feel comfortable with that, to a position of team leader where people's ideas were coming from them, and whenever they had something that was better than yours, you just empowered them to take ownership of the proper path, and they were basically giving themselves their own orders.
Does that sound correct? Yeah, I need to correct one thing, because I never did do it in a dictatorial way. I just didn't do it. I said I want to lead by example. But I would never come down and say, okay, guys, this, this, and this, we need to do this, because that was just not my personality or giftedness at all. So I was a hesitant leader rather than a dictatorial leader.
Gotcha. Very good. Well, I tell you, no matter what you're doing in your career, whether it's trying to get better at doing what you're already doing or trying to seek out the Lord's next step in your life, a multitude of counselors is essential to pursuing God's vocational calling in any area, shape, form, or fashion of your career calling. And with that, that's a wrap on segment number one of today's edition of Career Callings. Come back in a few for segment number two. Not long ago, I had a coffee with a young man who I'll call Larry, and Larry was having a tough time in his life because of some financial and emotional woes that had cropped up in his life and was hurting his family. And these financial and emotional woes that had kind of cropped up had cropped up because of a bad career choice. He had chosen a career for the wrong reasons. It was a career mismatch. And as a result of the stress that came from that, his family was suffering emotionally and financially. Hey, don't let that happen to you. Go ahead and do something about it by taking the Career Direct Assessment. The Career Direct Assessment was created by the late Larry Burkett for the very purpose of helping Christians biblically understand and discern how to find a career that matches up with the design God created them with. And just listen for a second, if you will, from a happy, satisfied client of Career Callings named Denise. Denise took Larry Burkett's Career Direct Assessment, and as she says in her testimonial, quote, "Once I completed the assessment, Robbie conducted a video call consultation with me to review my results, and he's easy to talk to, and his passion for helping people find their career direction comes through in his compassionate communication style. After asking several questions, he explained everything well and helped highlight certain insights that were key to my future. More importantly, God and His glory came shining through the session. While Robbie was asking insightful questions during the session, I experienced a significant moment of confirmation and revelation for my life. I could see a glimpse of the bigger picture God had been working in my life over the last few years, and suddenly several events made sense and prayers were answered while inspiring an enthusiasm to move toward my confirmed career calling. Praise God for the work Robbie is doing for and through Christ, and my sincere thanks for helping direct me on to my kingdom work." Thanks, Denise, for your great testimonial. And hey, the Career Direct Assessment has greatly influenced my life, and that's why I want to be able to share it with other people and help people avoid the financial and emotional pain that career mismatches bring. If you'd like to investigate whether or not the Career Direct Assessment is good for you, someone maybe who's already in the workplace looking for an answer to the question, why am I doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you have a loved one, like a child going off to college, that you want to give them some direction on the front end of the career search. Wherever you are in life, at whatever age you're at, the Career Direct Assessment can absolutely help you. I've counseled with teenagers up to 70-year-olds, and the Career Direct Assessment can help them all. If you'd like to learn more about the Career Direct Assessment, go to careercallings.net/discover. That's careercallings.net/discover, and learn more about it and see if it'll benefit you.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Welcome back from the break for segment number two of today's edition of Career Callings. I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God has called them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E @careercallings.net. Now back to our interview with Ken Collier. Ken, what would you say is your biggest career success?
Okay, the success, I think, is, as we were alluded to, was the fact that I was able to surround myself with a variety of strengths and personalities. And I love the fact that we make decisions with the multitude of counselors, surrounding yourself with those people. You know, it's not so much, okay, there's a leader of something and from him emanates everything, you know, what to do, how to do it. It's wonderful when you have the competency around you and the growing competency. You know, not everybody starts off at the same level. I sure didn't. And just to watch them grow in being able to do their responsibilities and their ministry in a great way, that is, I'm a consensus gatherer. I love unity. I just to me, there's nothing more special than brothers and sisters dwelling together in unity. And I know that many people don't have the opportunity to work among Christians like I do. And it's not, the others are wonderful people, and we have the privilege of working with those that are maybe unbelievers at this point. But the deal is, it's everyone loves an atmosphere of not judging, not looking down on, not being prideful of. And I think it's a wonderful privilege just to say, We deal with two things every day. We deal with issues and we deal with attitudes. Our issues have got to be done right. That's where philosophy comes in, because it helps you to know what you should do. But still, you can have an issue and you can handle it with a bad attitude. And, you know, it's really good to work with a team and say, hey, let's talk about not just what we're doing, but how we're doing it. Because that's equally as important. And that's been, to me, just the most exciting thing, to find and bring people to that the issue is important and the attitude is important. It's truth that is done in love. So that's basically it.
That's good. That's good stuff. And one of the things I'm gathering from that, just kind of a leadership lesson. A lot of people, especially when they're younger, they always have this mindset that to be a leader requires you to be in the forefront handing out orders. What I keep hearing from you over and over and over again is that your ability to serve the Lord in your position has not been based on that model of leadership, but more on what I would personally call a facilitating type of leadership, or a facilitator. And yeah, encouraging and supporting and enabling people to be leaders of their own on the team there. So I just want to kind of draw that distinction here and help people listening to the program today understand that there are all types of leaders. There's not just one mold. As a matter of fact, in my studies, the leaders that are doing what Ken's doing normally have a better track record of success than the ones that are always out in the forefront, pushing themselves out front, just handing out orders. So if you're that more of a facilitator type of person, understand that that's a great gift from the Lord and certainly can be used to generate some wonderful results as a leader in your vocation. We've already kind of mentioned a couple of books during our conversation, but let me go ahead and ask this question anyway. If you could recommend just one book, other than the Bible, of course, we establish every week on the program that the Bible is the number one book everybody should consume. So
yes.
In second place, what would be the number one book that you would recommend for our listeners and why would you do that? Why would you recommend that book?
Second place, I'm on an island and I have my Bible, but I would also take Changed into His Image, God's Plan for Transforming Your Life by Jim Berg. Changed into His Image. I know jimberg.com would give you a good selection place there to be able to find his work. But let me tell you why. It's because all of life is based for a Christian on progressive sanctification. In other words, I am changing from glory to glory. I'm not making necessarily these huge chasm leaps, but I'm changing in one direction every day. And he puts that in focus like nothing I've ever seen before. He's a personal friend and actually a mentor, but he has mentored me through his books. But I would say that that's the one that put growth, how to grow as a Christian, in a place where I could reach it and grab it. And I love that book.
That sounds like a great read. I'm going to get a copy of that and read it myself.
It is good.
If you were sitting in a room of high school seniors, what would be the best piece of career advice you could give them as they prepare to go out into the real world?
I would say the focus of your life is the great commandment, and that's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love your neighbors yourself. And it says on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. The Bible's going to teach you two things, how to love God, how to love others. Every career, it doesn't matter what you're doing, it doesn't matter who you're working with, then your goal is to follow in faithful obedience, loving. How do I love God? And how do I love other people? Because a lot of things will fall in place once you have, you know, the long goal in your mind and heart. So I know that I would say it all starts with your correct understanding of who God is, and that can't be skipped. You can be technically the best in your field, but unless you're teaching people or showing people how to love God, how to love others, then you're gonna end up being successful temporally, but not as successful eternally.
Amen to that. Amen to that. And Ken Collier, I have been blessed by our conversation today, and I am sure that several other people who have been listening today have been blessed as well. And they might want to reach out to you and ask a follow-up question or whatnot. So what's the best way people can connect with you?
Okay, email. At least it's going to get there as long as I use my tools rightly. Ken, K-E-N, dot Collier, C-O-L-L-I-E-R, at Wilds. WILDS.org.
Fantastic. And as always, I'll put that email address into today's show notes for today's program. And that way you can just go over to careercallings.net/radio, click on today's program, and click on that link to get to Ken's email address. So Ken Collier, thanks so much for your time today on the Career Callings Radio Show.
You're welcome, Robbie, and thank you, and God bless you folks out there.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. And that's a wrap on today's edition of Career Callings. If you've been blessed by my conversation with Ken Collier, as I have been, please indeed go over to careercallings.net/radio and click on today's program for the show notes, and you can get all the show notes you like, as well as a copy of today's broadcast, including the bonus material we'll have on the podcast version, information that you'll want to hear that we could not fit on today's 30-minute on-air program. Remember, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God bless. We all have to learn how to pursue God's calling, and that learning requires tons and tons of reading. But if you're like me, life is so busy that it's hard to find time to read. That's why I'm so excited to tell you about Audible.
Audible has over 180,000 audiobooks to help you listen and learn on the go. Audible has made me so much more productive, enabling me to learn while I drive, exercise, or work around the house. I know Audible can do the same for you, and that's why I've teamed up with Audible to give my listeners a free audiobook to see if audiobook learning is right for you. Go to audibletrial.com/careercallings and claim your free audiobook today. That's audibletrial.com/careercallings, audibletrial.com/careercallings.
Ken, was there a time in your life when you were confused about which career path God would have you to follow? And if so, how did he clear the smoke for you?
Well, the Lord must have. He must have known that I needed, in my indecisiveness many times, a little extra help. So once he put me on the path of Christian camping, it's interesting because I would have liked that back when I was working in camp as a young teenager, but there was no such thing as full-time camp work. So I set my goals to be somewhere in youth ministry, so that's what I studied for. But as the Lord would have it, a camp started up at the time when I was coming into my college years and I could spend on the ground floor learning it. So, you know, the idea of confusion was not so much that. Sometimes I was confused as to how God could use me because, again, not being that decisive leader, the one that could just hear something and immediately, boom, you know, come down on it. What you were talking about earlier is exactly right. Facilitating, I would say biblically, it's servant leadership. It's taken from the mind of Christ because in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And then verse 5 says, let this mind or this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And we find out that that attitude was humility and servanthood. So it doesn't matter what type of leader you are. You have to be a servant if you want to be like Christ. So in my mind, that's the goal, is the mind of Christ, even though he came down hard sometimes because he needed to, because truth was at stake. You will find him, the one who's the consummate one, who was unifying and who loved others and who never gave them the impression that he was dominating over them, but he was the one who was there to help. And so I'd love to be that kind of a leader.
Amen to that. And by the way, let each esteem other better than himself. That's our motto at the Romizer household. We've been trying to drum that into the kids ever since day one. So unfortunately, they forget that a lot. But
yeah,
I guess
good thing their parents don't forget that ever, huh?
Yeah, I never forget that. Never have a problem with that at all.
Yeah, not.
yeah, that's right. We all have trouble with that one, don't we? Oh, goodness. Well, let me just kind of make one other piggyback idea off of what you just said about your confusion is kind of so prevalent. I think so many people, and myself included in the past, a lot of times our career confusion issues are or do revolve around our lack of understanding of how God made us. One of the most wonderful things I ever did was take Larry Burkett's career direct assessment that he came up with back in the 1980s. And since then, I have become a certified career direct consultant for Crown Great. Ministries to help other people through this process. And in that, when I took it back in 2008, I had my eyes wide opened to who I was, how God had created me. And it cleared up a lot of questions I had, confusion I had about my own career choices, once I realized that, you know what, everybody's not made the same way to do the same thing. And when we understand how God has made us and for what kinds of work he has created us, it helps us to really clear up a lot of that confusion.
Yeah.
Ken, what would you know, a lot of our listeners are business owners, or they want to be, and The Wilds ministry, it is any kind of business, any kind of organization, even if it's a nonprofit, it truly is a business. It must be run like a business or it will fail.
Correct.
So tell me a little bit about this. What three things would you tell a new startup business owner to do in order to be successful based on your experiences as a leader?
Get the right people. There's a book called Good to Great, which I think is by James Collins, which is a great starting point when you start thinking. And even in there, even though it's not a quote-unquote Christian book, then it does go back to talk about the level five leader. And all you have to do is just fill in the blanks with scripture, because it is servant leadership. But it is gathering the right people and getting them on your bus. And boy, we spend a lot of time in prayer making sure that the right people come on, that they are understanding of the values. First of all, the sufficiency of God's word to answer all of our problems. Because if that's not there, then most other things would be lost. For somebody that is in a business that includes just a variety of people, I would say, just remember, if you've got 10 people that are quote-unquote under you, then you are servant to 10 people. You're there to make them successful with that attitude, which means that you care for them as people, you love them, you find ways to get involved in their life. I remember I went to a secular conference one time and was talking about how good it is to be able to know what's going on individually with people, and I got shouted down. And I thought, I must have tripped over some kind of leadership principle here that is a little bit different from the one on which I'm operating. I would say, know the timing and the ways of God. There's no leader that can divorce himself from a personal knowledge of who God is and what he can do. If you're strong in who God is and what he can do, then it really doesn't matter who you're leading. You'll have the idea of what God's goal is for them as an individual, and that is fantastic. To be successful, again, right people and right goals. And I realized when we chose a mission statement, we wanted one that was totally encompassing of everything that could be done in a day. And so we chose using the unique benefits of Christian camping. We serve people by presenting the truth of God with the love of God so lives can be changed to the glory of God. And I'm telling you, that actually applies to every single thing that we're able to do during the course of the day. We keep that mission statement, whatever you would choose that to be, that encompassing one, making sure that everybody knows it, and they actually practice it, and they can be called into account on the mission statement. That has been one of the greatest things that we've ever had. Of course, it comes directly from 1 Corinthians 10:31, which is our camp verse. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And so the glory of God is the goal, and obedience and love to him is the way in which we get there.
Kent, how are you using your career right now to impact others for Christ?
Well, Robbie, I'm in one of these places where it's so exciting because I deal with young people every day, kids that have a lot of knowledge maybe, but they're not sure, they haven't gotten to the place where they're seeking the wisdom of God and his mind and everything. So we get to be able to kind of put those things together, and we do it in a lot of ways. We do it with instruction as you go. I work side by side with a lot of the younger ones, and we'll just take a moment and say, hey, can I share something with you? Your reason why this is done this way, or the reason why we love to do this. Also, I found a wonderful outlet by writing. In training the young people, a lot of times it's good to put something in their hand, or I guess the same would be true with other employees, is just to let what's in your heart come out by way of black and white on paper, and I've really had the opportunity to mentor a lot of people by writing, by going back and retracing where we've come from, to give history, I think, which is very important in an organization, and above all, teaching them why we do what we do and making sure that it's tied to the principles and the commands of God's Word.
Amen. What would you say is the number one personal habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
Okay, I'd have to say personal habit would be getting up at a certain time and by a certain time being seated at my little study place with my cup of coffee and letting the Word of God show me the wisdom and ways of God, the knowledge of God, who He is and what He does. By far and away, you can't skip that step. You can say, okay, I'm in some good study programs, but you really need to be alone and quiet and let the Lord speak and just solidify, add the stiffener into the life that makes it such that you can make decisions during a day. But it also teaches you that you have to cry out for His wisdom at various times during the day. Lord, I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. And then let His Holy Spirit uses His Word to not only be a blessing to me, but hopefully be a blessing to other people. But that's the habit that I say cannot be skipped.
What time in the morning do you get up, by the way?
I usually get up at 5:45 to 6 o'clock for a schedule, being in the office time by about 8 o'clock.
Okay, very good. In case it's different, do you have a different business habit that you consistently adhere to that drives your career success?
I'm going to say the same thing,
okay,
because this is also what I'm trying to get across to the ones that I work with. You've got to be in God's Word. You've got to be conversant in communicating with Him. I would say the other thing added to that would be to do the walk around, to make sure that you are greeting people and giving them hope. I think that is the one thing above all people need so desperately, is to say, you know what, God is going to get you through this, that you are going to see God work actively in your life through this, and we're going to have a great day, but we've got to center it around Christ. So just being the walk around face that's not giddy and not always meeting people with a laugh. A lot of times it's just meeting them with comfort and refreshment.
Gotcha. How about a productivity tool? Do you have a productivity tool of some kind? And it can be, you know, internet-based, non-internet-based. It could be techie. It could be old-fashioned. But do you have a productivity tool that you use that helps you be effective and efficient in the workplace?
Yes, I actually, you know, my definition of me being effective and efficient, boy, I tell you what, I could raise the bar on that every day, but I love the book that I've come across, Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity by Tim Challies. I found that what it did is it helped me tie things into the electronic age, because it tells you to select a tool, to select a task manager, and also, you know, of course, you've got your calendar, but it put them all together. And it also had a bonus chapter, Taming Your Email, which was really, really good for me. But I like the book, Do More Better, A Practical Guide to Productivity by Tim Challies.
Gotcha. Was there one particular tech thing that you kind of found after reading that book that you like?
Yeah, that was, I found another tool that he directed it to, and that is and is a web-based, it's called Todoist, Todoist.com, Todoist, which it is a task manager. And I have, you know, I would keep my lists on paper and lose them, or, you know, I just didn't have, I'm not a natural administrator, but with this thing looking me in the face, anytime I think of something, I unburden myself by putting it down. And that's been great. Todoist has been the thing that I found in that has done a lot of help for me.
Sounds sounds like a good program.